book of 2 Chronicles tonight, book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll read probably one of the most famous verses in the area of revival tonight and look at it just a moment and have an altar prayer and things. But I again appreciate the goodness of the Lord, good singing tonight, how we've been reminded about His goodness, and He is good all the time. Amen. And I bless His good and holy name tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You're well and able to stand tonight, reading just verse number 14. I've been praying for several days leading up to this service as well as the service this morning. And knowing that tomorrow night we begin meeting with Brother Eddie, I always have tried as a pastor those maybe one or two services right before the meeting, again, getting our mind a little bit more even upon why we're gathering. Amen. And we certainly need revival in the day we're living in. I believe you agree with me there. As you look at our nation, I believe we need a mighty move of God. And I believe that's going to come through the church. Amen. And if it don't, it just won't happen. Amen. And so I will look at something, try to stir our hearts, help us in getting our minds and hearts more geared for the meeting. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 tonight. Bible said that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the good choir singing, the good special singing tonight. Oh, Father, I pray now as we look into your word, I pray that our hearts be good, fertile ground. I broke up by the word of God. Read, receive of the seed of the word of God tonight. Lord, I pray for a little while we would lay aside everything else. Let you speak to us and work on us and work through us. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to be the vessel and the voice that you desire for me to be tonight. Oh, I pray you'd touch me, enable me to preach what you put in me. I pray, Lord, help us in these days ahead in the revival meeting. Oh, that we'd come in here with a hearing ear and receptive heart and be obedient to that which you speak to us about. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice in this verse tonight, or I'll bring my title from, then look at the verse as a whole. I'm interested in that word if and the word I. The word if and the word I. Here's what I want to preach on this thought, this verse tonight. On the I hinges on the if. The I hinges on the if. Now, I'm aware that revival is a sovereign act of God. He must do the reviving. But ladies and gentlemen, there's, according to this verse, there's some things we must do while He wants to work and do a mighty thing in our midst. Now, I'll look at two things and I'll be done. First of all, in the first part of this verse, I'll look at the responsibility of God's people. The responsibility of God's people. For the Bible said, if my people which are called by my name. Now I'm aware that this verse is in a scripture dealing with Israel. As a matter of fact, they're dedicating Solomon's temple in this chapter. And Solomon has prayed and asked God's help. And he's referring to Israel. I'm turning back to God should they leave God. But can I say there's application even for the church of our day. Nothing wrong with that application. Because ladies and gentlemen, God does make the first move in salvation, but He makes the first move also in this thing of revival. Amen. He begins to touch our heart, but then it's in our side of the court. It's up to us. There's some responsibilities that we find in this verse to see God send revival. Now, there's some don't believe it that way. They don't think we got any part in it, but according to Scripture, we do. Every revival recorded in this Bible, God spoke and the people of God responded to what God had said to them. Well, it's no different now. Amen. And there's some things as we look. First, at the responsibility of God's people. What's our responsibility, Pastor? Well, first of all, in this text, he said, and humble themselves. We must humble ourselves out before God. Hey, you'll never be revived when we're full of pride and puffed up and being in the shape that the church of the Laodiceans got in, where they said we're rich, increased, and in need of nothing. For years now, I've been asked by other pastors, Brother David, what do you think is hindering us from having revival in our day? I believe it's because that spirit of Laodicea is on us, and we don't think we need no revival. Amen. We think we're all right because we do certain things and don't do certain things. And we think, well, it's all right. But ladies and gentlemen, if we get real honest, too many times we think better of ourselves than we should. We're puffed up with our own pride, and our pride is getting in the way of God sending revival. Some folk won't have revival, but they don't want that humbling part. But you'll have to humble yourself in the sight of a holy God. Amen. Oh, friend, I began thinking that lukewarmness is on the churches at Laodicean experience and all the other things as well. I believe we're in the closing of the church age that Laodicea represents in those seven churches in Revelation. Hey, I really believe Jesus is coming. And I don't know about you, because I don't know your heart, but I know my heart. I don't want to meet the Lord in the rapture on memories. I'm glad for what God's done and used to do. I really am. Hey, I sit down and meditate on those days long and long, and man, they helped me. But listen, we're living right now. We need God to do something now. And God is the God of the now. He is working now. Amen. But it's up to us tonight. We'll have to humble ourselves, admitting we need something. You know why folk won't go to the altar? It's because of their pride. Now, there's folk with physical things. I know that. But I'll tell you, there's others that are well capable of moving and walking, and it's their pride holding them back. Somebody said, preacher, they'll think bad of me if I go to the altar. It ain't between you and them. Go in the altar between you and God. Amen. And if you want God's help, you got to come to God. Amen. He's done throwed the door wide open. What more of an invitation do you need? Is that right? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. But a lot of Christians tonight are falling short of doing that. They just go about their same old way and friend, miss out on the blessings of God. So we see our responsibility is to humble ourselves. Let me say this. I'm going to move on. You don't want God to humble you. You hear me? Now, you young preacher, I'm going to help y'all right here. You be careful what you ask God for in prayer. You better understand He's going to do it. If you say, Lord, make me hungry for your spirit, you understand that drought comes before you get full? Hello? You realize you say, Lord, teach me to be patient. Do you know what the Bible says brings about patience? Amen. So if you want to humble yourself, do it yourself. You don't want God to have to humble you. That's right. Because, buddy, when He does it, it's in a big public way. Amen. So we find our responsibility. Let's humble ourselves before God. Now, listen. Hey, it ain't about the one next to you, one in front of you, behind you. Hey, revival's for the individual. Amen. There's never going to be church revival until there is first personal revival. Amen. We've got to say, Lord, it ain't everybody else, but it's me that needs revival. I was encouraged this morning in Sunday school as someone was praying and they confessed, I need revival. That's good. Amen. Amen. Oh, friend, that's a humbling ourselves out before God. So that's part of our responsibility. Then we also have responsibility to hunger for God. We're in a day where we don't hunger for God like we should. If you'll be honest, we are so preoccupied with life. So much going on. We run and never get nowhere. We do and never accomplish anything. Would you agree with that? Ladies and gentlemen, we are so wrapped up in our mere existence that we're missing out on a fellowship with God that we could really enjoy if we hungered for God. I picked up this afternoon a book by A.W. Tozer in my office on the pursuit of God. He talked about hungry in that book. Hey, here's where I'm getting really with this thought of the eye hinges on the hip. You're going to get out of this meeting what you want. If nothing happens in your heart, it is not going to be my fault. It won't be the deacon's fault. It won't be the church's fault. Hello. Because you can have a personal revival if everybody else turns a deaf ear to God. Amen. Yet there must be a hunger out for God. The psalmist, this is the kind of hunger we need. The psalmist said in Psalm 42 and verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hey, if you hunger for God, you'll have a sweet fellowship that others do not have. Amen. I'm convinced of this fact. Most of people who are saved are living beneath their birthright. They're living as paupers instead of a child of the King. That's right. You heard me right. They're living as paupers instead of a child king. Now, so you don't misunderstand because of the confusion of the charismatic movement. That ain't got nothing to do with the car you drive, the size of the house you live in. I want to tell you, you may not even have two nickels to rub together, but you can live like the child of the King that you really are. Amen. You see, my Father owns it all. And if you're saved, he's your Father too. Amen. Hey, and we have not because we ask not. That's the Bible. That's the book of James. Amen. So we find there must be a hunger for God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hear me right here. We need a hunger for the Master's touch. Whatever we do, I want God to touch us. When I sing, I want the touch of the Master. When I preach, I want His touch. If I witness, I want His touch. It means to me everything that the touch of the Master be on every service that we have. That don't mean you shout every service. Don't even mean there's a bunch of loud amens when you're preaching. But hey, the touch of the Master is at working in the heart. That's the need of our day. Life-changing services, not just a high peak in our life, but that which changes us for time and eternity. So we see there's that hunger for the Master, hunger for the move of God. Hey, God's been reviving at different areas of our country in this year. And I want to see God do something in the upstate. Yeah, now, I didn't know it when I scheduled Brother Eddie. I didn't know all these other churches haven't revived. I didn't have a clue. I just booked Brother Eddie when he could come. This man's booked up 2 years in advance. You get him when he can show up. Why is that? He's got something to say and people want to hear it. That's right. He's God's man. And you know what? With all these meetings, simultaneous God could break out in a move in the upstate. Amen. Revival break out. And we see God do some mighty things again. I believe that tonight. Somebody said, preacher, you believe there's hope for America? There is if individual Christians get right. Amen. Can God do it? He sure can, but the Christians got to get right. Amen. Hey, we're hungry for the move of God, hungry for a multitude to be saved. I don't know about you, but it thrills me when somebody gets born again. What a joy. Hey, they don't get saved every time you preach, every time you come to church. Hey, we're gleaners, by the way. I'm not excusing why we don't see somebody saved. Listen, they've got a choice. And you better remember that. They can say yes to the Lord and they can say no to Him. But in our day, it's a stalk here and a stalk there. But thank God there are some getting saved. Amen. So a hunger for multitudes to be saved. Then we see in this verse our responsibility to be honest. For he said, and turn out from their wicked ways. Boy, that word wicked right there bothers folk in the church world. Did you know that? They don't want you. Well, preacher, I'm not that bad. The Bible said turn from their wicked ways. All sin's wicked. Hey, I want you to understand, yeah, God labeled some things an abomination. He sure did. But all sin's wrong. Now, it ain't big and little. It's sin. And he said, we're going to have to do a turning. That's repentance. Hey, man, I'm wanting to preach pretty soon on repentance. Been on my heart. Hey, a lot in this day don't believe in repentance. But this Bible teaches repentance. Amen. And you'll never really get right with God till you repent. And Christian, you'll never have revival in your heart till you repent. Let God cut the spotlight on in your heart and your life and show you what's messed up and what's wrong in you and ask Him to forgive you and get it right. Amen. Oh, friend, too many Christians sit around and look at their neighbor. Amen. They're worried about somebody else's backyard when their yard ain't too good a shape. Amen. Oh, yeah. You know something here tonight, and I'm not being mean, but you understand the sin of unforgiveness has got a hold of our churches. Folk holding grudges. They won't get right. Listen, you say, but preacher, they wronged me. Yes, they did. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as you're hanging on to it, you're the one paying for it. Amen. You got to get rid of that spirit of unforgiveness in you and a spirit of bitterness that gets in you from a spirit of unforgiveness. Amen. You're wrecking your own life. You're holding your own self captive because you won't get it right with God. Oh, the sin of the tongue. Boy, we like to disguise prayer requests, don't we? Everything's a prayer request. Everything ain't a prayer request. There are things you don't have to tell. Amen. Can I just help you right here? Please don't get too quiet. But can I help you right here? It ain't really a matter of life and death. It's just good to be quiet. If that person ain't playing Russian roulette with a loaded gun or something, they just some of the stuff they're doing, you just need to talk to God about it and be quiet to everybody else. Amen. We ain't the spiritual police. That's right. So I get told all the time, did you see this on Facebook? Number one, I don't have Facebook. Number two, that's going to sound bad or crazy, but it's right. I really don't care. I'm not keeping up with you. You say, preacher, if they say something bad, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray for them. I refuse to let it tear my nerves up. And you need to learn that too. People are crazy in our day, just understand the crazy. Amen. They're spouting off at the mouth, posting stuff. They ought not be posting. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. What we need to do, just be quiet. That's right. Now, I preach like this. Someone always comes, preacher, don't you want us to know this? Hey, listen, again, if it ain't really a life and death type thing, it's just better pray. You don't have to talk to nobody. Talk to the Lord about it. Tell Jesus on them. Amen? Just tell Him all about it. Tell it in great detail to Him. You want to tell it in great detail to everybody? Tell it in great detail to the Lord. Most time what's happening, you're giving a great detail to everybody around you and just say, now, Lord, you help so-and-so, and that's as far it goes. Right? Say amen, nod your head, do something right there. But the sin of the tongue is it hurts our churches, hurts us. Amen. You say, preacher, what if they talk about you? It ain't the first one. And if they're about me, they're leaving you alone. So shout hallelujah. Amen. I just learned, listen, they're going to talk about you doing something for God. They're going to talk back if you're not. Don't talk about if you're doing right. They're going to talk about if you're doing wrong. I'm just made up my mind, turned my heart. I'm going to serve God. Amen. I don't want my tongue getting out of hand. Hey, this little member is a bad thing. Amen. I will say this and move on. I thank God that one side of it's tacked down. Could you imagine if both sides is loose? Amen. You think it's bad one side tacked down, both ends got loose. It'd be real bad. Amen. Hey, what you got? We just got to get honest with God. Whatever it is, God puts his hand on in your life, says you need to do something with it. Do it. Amen. Hey, there'll be no revival till we're honest with God. Amen. So we see the responsibility of God's people. We must do our part. But then notice in our verse, the response of God. If we do what he said to do, look what he said he'll do. It said, it went in this verse. Now again, if, that's God's people. But then in the middle of this verse, then will I. Hey, if we do this first part, he will do the other part. Amen. Hey, by the way, you can underline those words, then will I, in your Bible, and just good old country talk, take it to the bank. Amen. He will really do what he said in this verse if we do what he told us to do. Preacher, how's he going to respond? Well, first of all, he promises to answer prayer. He said, then will I hear from heaven. That's what he said he'd do. I promise you, I'll hear from heaven if you'll do what I said. If you will humble yourself and hunger in prayer and seeking me and being honest with me, I will answer your prayer and help you tonight. Oh, friend, I tell you, I'm glad that God hears and answers prayer. I don't want some sin in my life. He said, if I regarded it in my heart, Lord won't hear me. He said, the Lord's ear is open. In Isaiah 59:1, but verse 2 said, our sin has separated us from God. So I don't want nothing in my life. If we get right, he said, I'll hear and answer your prayer. Not only has he promised my friend to answer prayer, but notice this, he has promised that the account will be settled. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, it said this, then will I hear from heaven, notice, and will forgive their sin. There is nobody can forgive you but God. I understand when we do someone wrong, we ask their forgiveness. I understand that. But real forgiveness comes from God. Because sometimes folk will say, yes, I forgive you, and sometimes they won't. But I don't tell you, God forgives. When you come and you get right with him, he says it's forgiven. He don't remember. He ain't going to bring it up again. Some folk, listen to me, can't stay out of their past. Their past haunts them so bad. But listen, if you're saved, it's been forgiven. It's gone. Amen. So we find God's promise to us is that the account, that sin debt, it's took care of in him. Hey, listen to this. He said he'd promise to attend the needs of our land. For he said, and will heal their land. I said it a lot this year, and I do not apologize for it. Revival is America's hope. We're getting down close to this election. And yes, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote early and get it done. I am. That's my heart desire. God lets me live. It'll be done this week. Get it done and over. I want to tell you something. I'm not looking. Matter of fact, Brother Tim and me talked about coming down the road yesterday. I preached in North Carolina yesterday morning at 10:30 in a preacher's fellowship. That pastor opened up and he made this statement. Man, I liked it. He said, America's hope is not in a donkey nor an elephant, but in a lamb. I like that, and that's right. Amen. It is not a party that we need. It's the power of God that we need in America. Amen. And he promised. But he promises right here, he'll take care of our land if we get right. I believe the Bible. What about you? I don't believe it in doubt. So I ain't listening. No, I know he will. If God's people do right. Amen. Do you notice he didn't deal with anybody that was outside of the people of God in this verse? Did you notice that? So the Hendricks revival is not sinners, them lost. No, they're not the Hendricks. Washington, D.C. is not the hindrance to revival. Columbia is not the hindrance to revival. It's God's people not doing what the Bible said to do. Amen? Here in these days, I told Brother Tim, I don't know what all God's got in store in this meeting. It might be just to get our hearts tenderized up for him to do something at a later date. It could well be. It could be by the time we get in here tomorrow, the power of God fall and revival take up. Really can do that. But all I'm going is going to show up and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Here in the last few weeks, that's been my prayer. I've been praying for you, yes. But I'm saying, God, help me, because if you'll help me, I can help somebody else. That's right. Hey, friend, tonight, there the I, God, sin hinges on what you and I will do in these days. If we'll do what he said, he's promised to do great and mighty things for us. Amen. Father, I pray you take this message, use it tonight. Help us, Lord. Let this be a beginning point. Lord, others you've been working on already, and it could be just more of a catalyst for them to even get closer. But Lord, whatever the case, help us as your people. Lord, we sure do need revival. As I stand here tonight, I confess before my congregation and you, Lord, I need you to revive me. Oh, Lord, revive me, I pray. Help us in these days. Use Brother Eddie. Lord, give him the messages that we need to hear. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. I pray that you'll be obedient to the Lord in this service. I preach to saved folk tonight. And I wonder, as a child of God, do you got a desire to get closer to God? Do you know you need revival and you want him to help you in these days? I want you to stand. I'm not going to go through the hand raising type of invitation. Just say this altar's open if you'll come. And there's people slipping out to pray. And I pray there'll be many of us gathering this altar. Because I'm not pointing around. I know me. I need the help of the Lord tonight. While we're singing, folk are praying.